think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Last day of April. Man, I've lived in Ohio 65 years. I've never seen a spring quite like the one we have. We don't even have, just this weekend, we started to get some buds on the trees. May 1st is tomorrow. Been crazy. A lot of water, a lot of cold. Freeze warning last night. We've got below freezing last night. You guys don't care about the weather, but weather fascinates me sometimes. Just, first of all, how much we're really, really dictated by it. Man, oh man, hey, welcome today. A lot of stuff on the plate today. I want to start out by just giving everybody a brief update here today on what's going on with Rusty Thomas, Jeremiah Thomas. I know many of you out there praying. It's become almost like an internet sensation, what's going on with Rusty and Kendra and Jeremiah and the family. And so let me try to bring you up to date here. Without Rusty's, thank God for the internet, because Rusty keeps giving us updates. Dale Socia, Dale's really, really actively involved with Rusty, communicating with Rusty. Michelle communicated with Kendra yesterday, Rusty's wife, Jeremiah's mother. So here's the scoop. Rusty and Jeremiah, they took Jeremiah down to Tijuana, Mexico, and took him to Tijuana. They wanted to do alternative cancer therapy. So they took him to Tijuana, Mexico, got him into hospital. They began the dietary treatments, the cleansing of the system, all that kind of stuff. That went on for about 7 or 8 days, and the procedure was eventually going to be to heat up his blood to about 106 degrees. That at 106 degrees, it kills the cancer. And so try to cleanse his whole body, kill that cancer, and give him a reboot, start from scratch. But over the weekend, I think it's been over the weekend, some complications set in. Number one, I'm just giving you the updates, okay? Jeremiah's cancer began to, it was very, very rapidly growing and metastasizing. Metastasizing means it spread. Kendra, in one of her posts, said that he had a melon-sized growth in his chest, and it was causing bleeding into his lungs to the point where they had to put him on some type of breathing aid, respirator type thing. And they weren't sure exactly what was causing the blood in his lungs. They assumed it was the tumor. They didn't know exactly what was going on. So it reached the point where they couldn't help him anymore in Tijuana. They couldn't do the procedure they wanted to do because his body couldn't take it. So Rusty then, just imagine this, how your life can change. And it was April 1st or 2nd when this first hit. That was Rusty, and the family's lives have been turned upside down. So Rusty began at that point to try to figure out what are they going to do. They had to get him back to the States and get into some type of hospital or get a doctor to do the surgery. And I guess it was very, very delicate surgery around the heart and around the lungs, and the people were really, really concerned about it. And then, of course, Rusty and Kendra don't have any what we would call insurance. They have like Samaritan or something like that. I don't know exactly what their insurance is. And so, you know, we hate to admit this, but in today's modern society, people don't want to do surgery on people who don't have insurance, can't pay. So Rusty was struggling to find a hospital in San Diego, back across the border, to get him to San Diego where they could get a doctor to do the surgery. Well, they were able finally to get a, Rusty said, 30-minute ambulance ride, sirens blaring and everything, to Jeremiah back from Tijuana back into San Diego, where another ambulance picked him up and sped him to a children's hospital there in San Diego. And They still didn't have a doctor. They still didn't have anything they wanted to do. The most immediate thing they needed to do was there was blood in his lung. They needed to get the blood out of the lung. They thought that was a risky procedure. They just didn't know. In fact, Rusty had reached the point where he said they were almost out of options and they were just going to take Jeremiah back home with them. But in the meantime, somebody, some kind person out there flew the entire Amish nation, brothers, sisters, children, flew them all to San Diego. So there was a real reunion there when they got to San Diego. And then Flip Venom showed up. I saw a video, a picture on Facebook. Flip, God bless Flip Venom, Rusty's lifelong friend. Flip just lost his wife three months ago. Flip flew out to San Diego to be with Rusty, encourage and strengthen Rusty, and you know, people are communicating with him. And long story short, last night they were able to get into Jeremiah's lung, drain the blood. Haven't heard the result. Rusty said that if the blood is black or dark blood, it's good. It means that the body has fought back and stopped the bleeding. If it's red, then that's an entirely different story. So I haven't heard the results of that, other than Jeremiah went through that process well last night. Of course, it's, you know, what time is it there this morning? It's only 4 a.m. there now, so he's resting, trying to figure it out. So then once that gets done, they're looking for a surgeon who will do this very, very delicate surgery, remove it. Jeremiah needs a miracle. Just needs a miracle. So we continue to pray for him. You know, that we could get into a theological discussion. And in fact, I think it's one of the main things that really drives people away from Christians, from Christianity. Is, as we read in the scripture, God has the ability to heal him. And was it that Dan Brown in that book, the Vinci Code, or one of those books, you know, they come up with the premise that God is either not all powerful or he's not all good. And many have fallen for that. Because if God's all powerful, he can heal him. And if God's all good, he would heal him. Why wouldn't he heal him? And so they don't understand pre-choice. They don't understand all that. I don't know why God doesn't heal Jeremiah Thomas. I don't know.
Well, Coach.
Can't explain it. Can't explain it. Won't try to explain it. I don't know. Yeah, Jared.
Is it God has the power to heal him? Yes, but doesn't God give us the power to heal him? Is that how that works?
I suppose, Jared, but you know, it's very, Bible says the healing is the children's bread. I mean, now you could say a lot of things. You say, well, he's sick because of the food we've eaten, the way that we've poisoned the environment. There's a lot of different things that you could say that could justify why people are getting so many cancers, and there are a lot of people that are getting cancer. But it would seem to me as the atheist love to argue, if God's all good, he could heal him. Why doesn't he do it? He's all powerful. Why doesn't he do it? That's the dilemma of faith. Now, listen, my faith's not failing me. It makes it so difficult for Christians to be able to try to explain their faith to others who don't believe.
Well, I think we can take a lesson from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Uh-huh. Now, I know there's an argument about they had different Hebrew names and the ones we use count and all that, but forget that argument. The fact is those three gentlemen, they said, even if we get thrown in there, we don't care because we know what's, you know, we're okay. We're fine with where we're mm-hmm. at. Mm-hmm. And they I don't know if they expected to be saved, but they said, even if we don't get saved, even if we don't get brought out of the fire, just throw us in anyway because we're not going to bow down to you. And we as Christians tend to try to analyze everything and figure yep. God's thinking out, and it yep. ain't going to work. We will yep. never manage to figure his thinking out.
His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our yep. thoughts, and that's hard for us to understand. And to be perfectly honest, the scripture says it's a glorious time when you pass on with the Lord. It's a glorious moment. And we live in this time-space continuum. We love people. We don't want to see him sick. We don't want to see him suffer. We don't want him to pass on. But ultimately, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and it delights in his way, in our way. And we either trust the Lord or we don't trust the Lord. And listen, I'm not making excuses. All right? I'm not moaning. I just hear it all the time, right? I hear people that, man, if God's all powerful, how come he doesn't heal him? And if God's all, you know, all that stuff. If God's really all good and he's all powerful, why does he let those little children get raped? Those are the questions that the people come at Christianity from. So again, you can't explain faith to somebody who doesn't have any faith. You can't explain it. And so the Thomases, even if Jeremiah comes through this one. He's took a long, long road ahead of him. I noticed Dale Socha made a post yesterday. Are you there, Dale?
If Brother, you are, talk I'm about here. I spoke with Rusty for. Yeah, I spoke with Rusty at length yesterday.
Yeah, good.
Brother, things that are going on behind the scene that we're not even aware of. He said, Dale, yeah. He said, there's a guy in the surgery room who he's a born-again Christian, loves the Lord. He said, prior to us coming to this hospital, he said, brother, there was people, non-believers. He said, there were things happening. He said, spiritually, that nobody could explain. They couldn't understand. It was darkness, and they were freaking out. He said, this is crazy. He said, when we showed up, he said, you brought the light. He said, the unsaved people are asking us about God in this hospital now. Brother, let me tell you what, our ways are not God's ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. God is doing something in the midst of all this that's going on with Jeremiah that we do not see. And it's a God's perspective. Now, what you were just talking about this, I shared yesterday at church. First off, of sickness, three types of sickness. There's a sickness because there's the fall of man. There's a sickness because of the sin of the person. But then there's the sickness to glorify God. When they asked Jesus, and Jesus, they said, Jesus, was it his sin, his father's sin, or his mother's sin? He said, neither. He said, this is that God would be glorified and that you would know God. So I'm weeping, brother. I wept so much. We are going down next Sunday. Three of us plus two of my kids, and we're putting the flooring in their house.
Amen. Dale, one of the good news that you posted on your what I saw on your page is Rusty had enough money to pay the hospital bills through donations, paid all the hospital bills in Tijuana. Is that right, Dale?
That is absolutely correct. He said through what's going on, through private people giving, through the GoFundMe, they were able to pay for everything in Tijuana. That hospital's paid for. And in Tijuana, let me say this, not only did Tijuana, they said that, okay, so they've exhausted everything. They said if that hospital in San Diego will not do the surgery, they would take Jeremiah back again and they would do the surgery.
Okay. Down in Tijuana.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. 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 You know, I'm reminded of what David Arthur said. David Arthur, you're there, David. Tell that story, David, that the woman came to you and said, how could God save a vile wretch like you, huh?
Yeah. Tell that story, David. It was in a church building right after I gave testimony, and a woman came up to me and she looked me in the eye and she said, why would God save you? Why would he save the likes of you? After all you've done and after the life you've led, and not save my baby girl, my 12-year-old daughter. And I looked at her and my first reaction was, ma'am, I don't have an answer for you. But then the Holy Spirit just completely spoke to her and told her that her daughter was resting in the arms of God from the moment she left.
Because she was a believer.
And that I told her, I said, I would have went to hell had I died in the state that I was in, had God not rescued me. I said, so ultimately he saved both of us. He saved her and I.
Amen. Amen. Wow. So we continue to pray for Jeremiah. We trust the will of the Lord. We faint not of what we see, and God's will be done in it. God's will be done.
Hey, you know, Coach, my wife said that it's a miracle that he's even in that hospital. You know, that was going back and forth whether they could get in or not. She said, she goes 99.9% of any hospital that you're coming into, not based on that, even that condition, that you're a cash paying patient, they would send you to the public hospital. They wouldn't take you. She said, that's a miracle in itself that hospital chose and allowed that to happen. So, you know, God's moving.
Let me tell you a story here, fellas. Our system is so screwed up. Life-saving surgery should not break a family. That's my opinion on it. I don't want to get into the whole healthcare thing, but I had an experience a few years ago where I had to have an elective surgery. I didn't, you know, it was elective in that, well, it wasn't elective for me. I had to have it, right? And so we're self-pay, but don't have any insurance. And I have American, but I'm a self-pay. And so now I'm Medicare, right? Now I'm an old man. I suppose that's still self-pay too, isn't it, really? So I went to my doctor. The doctor's going to do the surgery. And I said, listen, doc, I said, I'm self-pay. I don't have insurance. What's this going to cost me? And he said, well, go down and talk to the girl who does the billing. She'll be able to give you a better idea of it. So I went down to the girl and told her what was going on. I said, how much is surgery going to cost? And she said, well, blah, 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 blah. She said, you're going to pay cash? I said, yeah, I'll pay cash. She said, we'll do it for $500. So I thought, wow, can't get a transmission for that. You know, I'm thinking, okay, cool, I'll do it. And I said, pardon me, just curious. if I had insurance, what would you charge my insurance? Remember, $500 to charge me. She said, well, sir, to get the $500 for the doctor, we'd have to charge you $2,000. I said, what? She says, yeah. In order for us to get $500, we have to charge $2,000. Does that tell you how messed up the system is? Does that tell you something? So multiply that by, you know, Rusty's bills, whatever they would be in the hospital. They're probably inflated 10 times what it really, really costs. And that's for all the people who don't have insurance and aren't being paid and all this kind of stuff. And we hear about medical insurance and how expensive it is. And, you know, a lot of it's liability insurance, all that stuff. We have the most screwed up system,
The temple bill, Rusty, or for Rusty in Texas before they went to Tijuana. Okay, here's a pretty hard number. $155,000. That's their bill in Texas.
That's crazy. Is that crazy, folks?
That's ridiculous.
And Atlanta, of course, Hospital. Now,
yeah, they're gonna negotiate this out. But you're exactly right, Coach. And not only here's the crazy thing, because my wife says the same thing. You know, it's nuts. She goes, when you go into the hospital, it's not the doctors who make the determination on what they can do. It to me, it's an hourly employee sitting up behind a computer the insurance company
who make the decision. That's it. And then I'll give you another one. I had to go to the hospital a year later. I think it was. I cannot remember what it was. Something. I was I cut. I'd remember my cuts. Anyway, I had to go. Had to go there for. I remember what it was. Oh, I remember what it was. Okay. Doesn't that, kidney stone. So I go into the hospital, in the emergency room for the kidney stone. And I'm laying in there, and they're doing what they can do with it, you know. And as I'm laying there, I've been in there probably a couple hours, and some lady comes walking in with a chart. And she comes up to my wife and she says, we see that you don't have insurance. I don't know if the guy knows how insurance works with Samaritan. We have Samaritan and it's group insurance, right? Other Christians pay the bill. So when you go in, technically you don't have insurance. Okay. You're self-pay. So the lady comes in, she says, I see here that you guys don't have insurance. I'm wondering, would you like to have what they called non-compensated care? My wife said, what's that? What's non-compensated care? And she says, well, it's a fund that we have here for people who don't have medical. So Michelle gets the paper and works out. So, and long story short, the hospital has a fund to pay all of it anyway. It's called non-compensated care. Can you believe that? So that is available. So people do walk in off the street and get free medical care, except they just charge it to the next guy coming through the door. How the whole system works. So Rusty, you know, Rusty got $150,000 in bills. I bet his house didn't cost that much. It's 30 years, probably still hasn't paid at all. Oh, I don't want to get bogged down on it. Dale, pray for that situation real quickly. I'm sure you're all prayed out, brother. Hang on a second, Dale. Hang on. This is another thing, and I just want to touch on this, okay? I don't keep begging God. Let's not beg God. He doesn't want us to beg. You don't make your children beg. You don't. Now, you keep coming back and you might keep reminding him. But you're, as Larry's told us, it's faith towards God. Lord, you're in charge of this. I know you're going to We know that you got this thing, Lord. And our prayer is that Jeremiah will live. That's our prayer, Lord. But nevertheless, your will be done. And to go back and keep begging God to do what he's already said he was going to do, that he's already, I just think is an affront to him. And I don't mean that we don't keep lifting up the name and praying for grace and mercy and healing. Just do all that stuff. But the idea that we have to beg God, get that out of your mind. Get that out of your mind. God's not moved by need. God's not moved by your begging. Although, there you always get into. Go ahead, Dale. Go ahead, Dale.
Well, Father, we just come to you in the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you for salvation. We thank you for the for the shed blood of Christ that has cleansed us, forgiven us, and redeemed us from our wicked sin, Lord, that we are not worthy of. But, Lord, we are now washed, we are redeemed, and we are, Father God, Lord, children of the Most High. We have been adopted. And, Lord, you said if we come unto you, Lord, and we pray and asking and agreeing, Father, according to your will. So it's based on your will, Lord, that if Jeremiah should live. But, God, if you're bringing him to the edge, that you would be glorified. Lord, let your will be done in this. Father, if he is to rest in your arms in eternity, then the seed falls into the ground, God, that it will bring forth a massive amount of fruit. But Lord, I just pray that you would just send, Father God, your comforting arms, Lord, that are not too short, nor are they too weak, to gather that family, to hug that family, to love that family, to secure that family. And Father, as Rusty has said, though you slay me, I will praise you. And Father, I know this, Lord, if Jeremiah goes down, he is going down standing for Jesus. Father, I pray that you move on his behalf and on his family. And as Coach said, we don't come begging. We just come with mercy. We come with tears. We say that we love you and we appreciate you. And God, everything and anything that you do, Father God, is perfect and it is pure. Amen. Father, let your kingdom come and let your will be done in this situation. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. I was reminded of about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, now we had a situation here involving one of our own children. It wasn't a medical issue, but it was heartbreaking. Oh, my Lord. And I remember that in the midst of it, the beginning of it, in the midst of it, I jumped on my bicycle and I went for a ride down this old back road, like the Wicked Witch of the West. That's what I was doing. I was trying to write off my frustrations and my despair. And I was just weeping. Riding my bike, I'm telling you, I was chest heaving, weeping, if you guys have ever done that. Prevailing. Right, I could take you and show you where I was. Riding down that old back road, and I'm crying out to the Lord. Lord, why would you let them do this to my child? Why would you let, it's me they're after. Why would you let them do this to my child? I'll never forget what the Holy Spirit said. Did you see what they did to my boy? Amen. Hey, David, what's going on up there in Maine here this weekend? This weekend, David Arthur, jump in.
Coach, this weekend is the Man Up Conference, Saturday and Sunday, and a lot of people think it's a men's conference, but it's not a men's only conference. It is directed toward the Christian man and woman, and just really to gain some information, to be able to stand up, take firm ground, and to speak out. The speakers are, of course, you, Coach Dave from Past Salt Ministries, Dr. Scott Lively, who is running for governor this year of Massachusetts, but he's also an attorney, a pastor, an author, a public speaker, missionary, international human rights consultant. He's gotten around.
He's a Renaissance man for sure. Yes.
Yeah, he's an author, but a couple of his really good books are The Pink Swastika, which tells where the LGBT movement originated from in Germany, and Redeeming the Rainbow. I'll also be presenting on Saturday night, and then on Sunday morning, we have Christopher Kane of Alive Ministries. He'll be bringing a word, and Diane Splitz coming from Mass Resistance, massresistance.org. she is a very powerful testimony of her own battle with the public school system and the state interfering in her parenthood. And now her son was actually removed from her home, and now he's off living as a homosexual, and he hates Christians because he's been totally brainwashed by the school and the state. So she is a powerful witness to that as well. We'll be the Channels of Blessings, a reggae Christian band will be there. Carolyn Thomas is going to be there to sing as well. We have we're starting at 3 o'clock for a meet and greet. Dinner is at 4. Coach Dave goes on at 5. Dr. Scott Lively at 6. I go on at 7. We'll have Q&A at 8. And then Sunday morning we'll begin at 9 with praise and worship, and then a message. And then after the entire service on Sunday morning, we'll be having a brunch. And there is no fee to come to the conference. We'll be taking up a love offering after each speaker, as well as there will be ministry tables there with information and ways to donate and give to the ministry
individual. David, you're an amazing guy, man. I don't know how long we've known each other, but you are picking up the ball and running with it, boy. Scott Lively, I'm going to have Scott Lively on. You know, he's running for governor in Massachusetts, and he just came through the Republican Party just had one of those caucuses where they all come together, and Scott came out as the leading vote getter, if you can believe that or not. He's an attorney. The pink swastika, I have to have him on for that alone. David said it, that the Nazism and homosexuality were tied together. And so that part of that's what with that same spirit is what's come over here. And Scott wrote a book called The Pink Swastika, exposing the connections of homosexuality, pedophilia, and the Nazi regime. And that book's maybe 20 years old. Scott was way out ahead of it. So that's listen, if you're out somewhere and on the East Coast, try to get there. Well, East Coast, we're talking about New York, Massachusetts, run up through that Maine, parts of Pennsylvania. You'd be blessed. I'm trying to think what's close to Maine. Ain't nothing close to Maine, but we're going to be there, and we're going to be giving the truth. And David, I'm honored to be part of it. Did you throw that up on the screen there, Jared? I'm sorry, I can't. I think you probably did. Everybody sees it to me.
It'll be in Brewer, Maine, which is right next to Bangor. So anybody flying in, just fly into the Bangor airport, and you're about 10 minutes away from the Vacation Land Inn, which is where the conference will be held.
And it's going to be like
it's getting a room. There's 20%, 25% discount on the rooms for our group.
So you can contact me at Coach Dave Live, and I can get you some more information on it, or whatever. David, I hope it's above freezing. We had a freeze last night here. April 30th, we had a freeze warning last night here. So I hope it's warmer up there in Maine. Chances of that probably.
It's been 60 every day, Coach.
Oh, cool. Well, then look forward to being up there. Amen. Questions, comments about that? I belong Amen Ministries. I belong Amen. Okay, I want to golly, is it that late already? Jeez. Jared, Proverbs 28, pull it up there. Proverbs 28. Be a good thing to read today. And then let's go ahead and do it in that order. Got a good crew. We got 33 people in here. We got room for a few more. Want to jump in, be part of the queue here. Honored to have you. I'm just scrolling down and looking at the names. What's that, Ben? 70 live. Good. All right. 70 live on YouTube. Thanks for being there. Proverbs 28. This is on my heart today. Here we go. 28:1. It's a couple things I want to point out. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as lions. Let me ask you, is that going on in America? Do you not believe the Bible? Is the Bible lying? Why are the wicked not fleeing? Well, I can tell you why. Because the righteous aren't bold. They're not bold. I got a video I could show you. We were at the Planned Parenthood protest on Friday. Tom Dunn did a video, but I couldn't find it today. I wanted to show you a little bit of that. And there were about, there might have been 50 of us. Might have been, God bless everybody that came. I'm going to tell you this. We don't care about abortion. We don't care. Bunch of liars. Nobody cares. For the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof. In other words, children of transgression is a prince. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. A poor man that oppresses the poor is like a sweeping rain which leaveth no food. Here's where I'm heading. Verse 4. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. This is a pregnant pause. Look at America. Look who our heroes are. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. But such as keep the law contend with them. Now, there we are again. See, there we are again. We're supposed to be contending. Jared, go back to verse 1. Go back to verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as lions. And then verse 4, they that forsake the law praise the wicked, but those who keep the law contend with the wicked. Are we doing that? We don't do that. We embrace the wicked. Evil men don't understand judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprighteousness. Better a poor, an honest poor man than he that is perverse in his ways and has a lot of money. Verse 7. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of righteous men shameth his father, righteousness. He that by usury, interest, tax interest, interest on loans, he that by interest on loans and us unjust gain increases his pocketbook, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. And he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. I'm going to take this again. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. And whoso causeth the wicked to go astray in an evil, I'm sorry, whoso causeth the righteous to go astray, hey, boys and girls, public schools. He, whoso causeth the righteous little boys and girls to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. But the upright shall have good things in possession. The rich man is wise in his own conceit. But the poor that hath understanding searches them out. When righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, men hide. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Happy is the man that feareth always. But he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. As a roaring lion and a ranging bear. So I got a roaring lion and a bear that's going all along the range. So is a wicked ruler over the poor people. Somebody say amen.
Amen, coach.
Amen.
I say woe unto us.
The prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor. But he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man help him. Wow. Abortionist. Planned Parenthood. What's it say? A man that helps Planned Parenthood do violence shall flee to the pit, and nobody's going to help him. Our government supports him. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. And he that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that falleth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Ooh, can't make quick bucks. To have respect of persons is not good. For Hillary to get away with what she gets away with, and the average common everyday Joe have to pay for the full force of the law. What's it say? Not good. For a piece of bread, that man will transgress. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not the poverty shall come upon him. And he that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. How about that? An open rebuke is better than secret love. 24, whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it's not a sin, the same as the companion of a destroyer. He that is proud of, how long does this go? I'm about done. He that is proud of heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Yeah, that's what it, that explains it. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. And he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes from the poor shall have many a curse. And last one, 28, when the wicked rise, men hide themselves. But when they perish, the righteous increase. Wow, is there some wisdom there? Comments? Anything. That's some good stuff.
Yeah, right, verse there. 1, brother. The wicked flee when no one pursues. The righteous stand bold as a lion. But unfortunately, most Christians just sitting in a church and doing nothing.
Amen. But it tells us, Dale, and I wrote something in my Bible. I got to turn sideways here. Flip Benham, 2:12:09 said, I wrote it down, fairness is the enemy of justice.
Hey,
that's not fair. It ain't supposed to be fair. It's supposed to be equal justice. Everybody treated the same. Yes, Larry.
Something jumped up in me as you were reading through that proverb. And let's turn to verse 9 again for a second. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Now, when God hears the prayer from the person who refuses to inspect, dive into, and receive from the truth or law of God, God considers that prayer being prayed to him an abomination. Now, turn to John chapter 9 and verse 31. The man who got healed and the religious leaders are grilling him. One of the things the man that got healed said back to the religious leaders was this, and this was recorded in the Bible for a purpose. He says, now we know that God heareth not sinners. Now, let me tell you, all you folks out there depending on getting somebody to say the sinner's prayer and that they're then saved, God did not even hear that prayer. God is not listening for a sinner's prayer to be prayed. God is watching for a heart to change and repentance to take place.
If any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. So he's looking for a contrite heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He's not looking for somebody just to mouth a prayer. Go to Jude. Good point, Larry. Go to Jude, Jared. I got something going. It enraged me. Well, I'm about to show you. I cannot tell you how enraged I was. Bear with me a second. I want you to see. I want you to see a couple different things here. Jude, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write you and exhort you that you should earnestly, what? Contend for the faith. Doesn't it say in verse 4, they that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them? Contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. And what they do? Stay with me. They turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Jared Webster's 2:18-28. What is lasciviousness? Let's go to Webster. And denying the only Lord God. My goodness. Lasciviousness. Listen, we just kind of scoot around that word, don't we? Lasciviousness. Looseness, irregular indulgence of animal desires, wantonness, lustfulness, who being past feeling have given themselves over to what? Irregular indulgence of animal desires, wantonness, and lustfulness. A tendency to excite lust and promote irregular indulgences. My goodness. Jared, please put in there real quickly for me. See if it shows up. It may not. Homosexuality. Not even in the dictionary. Jared, put in sodomy. A crime against nature. You with me? I'm going somewhere. You with me? What's the sin of sodomy? Why is sodomy a sin? Against nature. Not only does it violate the laws of God. See, fornication violates the laws of God. Fornication does. But fornication is not against nature. Our nature is for a man to sleep with a woman. That's our nature. For a man to sleep with a woman is supposed to be in the bonds of holy matrimony. It's natural, but it's done outside its natural, outside of marriage, it's sinful. It's not an abomination. It's sinful. Sodomy is an abomination because why? It's outside the bonds of matrimony and it's against nature. And so people will say, well, coach, if we just get married, if homosexuals just get married, it's no longer fornication. No, 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 no. It's against nature. Are you picking up what I'm laying down here? It's against nature. The laws of nature and of nature's God. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And to secure these rights, governments are instituted amongst men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. There is a right and there is a wrong. Okay. So, Jared, this enraged me. And here's what I'm still banned from Facebook, so I couldn't respond. This came across my Facebook feed from a Christian. And the Christian said, maybe we need to rethink some of our bigotry. Hey, Christian. Okay. Jared, it says gay Christians. Matthew Vines. Anybody heard that name? Stay right there, Jared. Matthew Vines. He's all the rage. He's all the rage. He's a sodomite preacher. But hang on. What's sodomy? Somebody help me. What's sodomy? Against nature. Calling good evil, evil good. It's against nature. A crime against nature. Homosexual could a homosexual man can marry as many men as they want to, and it's a crime against nature. You guys with me? Okay, now listen. First of all, Jared, How many people have viewed this, Jared? How many can you, let's go, 1.065771 million Christians have watched this baloney. And I'm going to tell you what, they don't have the discernment of a skunk. The whole time I'm watching this, I want to scream. This is an example, right here, fellas, is a perfect example of letting the Bible interpret whatever you want it to interpret. You can find in the Bible pretty much a right to do whatever you want to do. Sit back and listen to this sodomite against nature. Thank you. Against nature. Right. Yeah, right. So, amen. Craig, what's it say? Itching ears. Remember, the people would heap up for themselves. Teachers having itching ears. So we have a lot of people who have homosexual children, and what they want to hear more than anything is God's okay with it. Oh, God's okay with it. Oh, good. Jesus is so good. He's okay with my son's sodomy. That's where we are. That's why they don't want to hear David Arthur. So sit back. 4 minutes and 50 seconds. I'm going to try not to scream at the clear. What was it Jude said? Evil men crept in unawares. Huh? Here's one of them, Matthew Vines. Go ahead, Jared.
Marriage equality is on the rise. But despite this trend, religious beliefs remain a major obstacle to acceptance. Many conservative Christians believe that the Bible condemns all same-sex relationships. That question drove my own intensive study of this issue when I came to terms with being gay, as both my parents and my church in Kansas believed that gay marriage was wrong. But what I learned when I studied the relevant scripture passages changed my parents' minds, along with the views of many other Christians in my life. There are 6 passages in the Bible that refer to same-sex behavior, 3 in the Old Testament and 3 in the New Testament. The most famous passage is the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. God sends 2 angels disguised as men into the city of Sodom, where the men of Sodom threaten to rape them. The angels blind the men, and God destroys the city. For centuries, this story was interpreted as God's judgment on same-sex relations. But the only form of same-sex behavior described is a threatened gang rape. Ezekiel 16:49 sums up the story's focus on violence and hostility toward strangers. Now, this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. In Leviticus 18:22, male same-sex intercourse is prohibited, and violators are to receive the death penalty. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Other things called abominations in the Old Testament include having sex during a woman's menstrual period, eating pork, rabbit, or shellfish, and charging interest on loans. But they're part of the Old Testament law code, which was fulfilled by Jesus. Hebrews 8:13 says that the old law is obsolete and aging. Romans 10 verse 4 says that Christ is the end of the law. So the Old Testament doesn't settle the issue for Christians. But let's look to the New Testament, which contains the longest reference to same-sex behavior in the Bible. In Romans 1 verses 26 and 27, people who turn away from God to worship idols are then turned over to their own lusts and vices. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Paul's words here are clearly negative, but the behavior he condemns is lustful. He makes no mention of love, commitment, or faithfulness. His description of same-sex behavior is based solely on a burst of excess and lust. In the ancient world, same-sex behavior mainly occurred between adult men and adolescent boys, between masters and their slaves, or in prostitution. Most of the men engaged in those practices were married to women. So same-sex behavior was widely seen as stemming from out-of-control lust, a vice of excess, like gluttony or drunkenness. And while Paul labels same-sex behavior unnatural, he says in 1 Corinthians 11:14 that for men to wear their hair long also goes against nature. And most Christians interpret that as a reference to cultural conventions. In the last two likely references to same-sex behavior in the Bible, two Greek words, malakoi and arsenikoitai, are included in lists of people who will not inherit God's kingdom. Many modern translators have rendered these terms as sweeping statements about gay people. But the concept of sexual orientation didn't even exist in the ancient world. Yes, Paul did not take a positive view of same-sex relations. But the context he was writing in is worlds apart from gay people in committed, monogamous relationships. The Bible never addresses the issues of sexual orientation or same-sex marriage. So there's no reason why faithful Christians can't support their gay brothers and sisters. It's time. If you'd like to learn more, check out my new book, God and the Gay Christian.
There you go. You guys understand? You understand how devious that was? Somebody come on in there.
And once you become an ally of the LGBT or an ally of your son who's gay or your daughter who's transgender, you become an enemy of God. You are no longer a Christian.
Amen. Yeah.
And see, the whole deception is, as I said, is this is being done to satisfy parents. God help any parent that's dealing with a gay child. God help them.
Yep. Brother, they twist the scriptures to their own destruction.
That's right. But telling them that Jesus is okay with it, that's not the answer. Remember, what is sodomy? Against nature. Now, Jared, pull up real quickly Romans 1. Selective, yes, go ahead.
Man, I think he's almost got me convinced, because I was thinking about suicide. You know, the Bible says in the New Testament that Judas hanged himself, and then it says, therefore, go do the same.
that guy's
a great theologian.
That's good, George. That's good. Yeah.
I'm going to go out and hang myself, huh? Verse 25, Jared. Verse 25. Romans 1:25. Hey, guys, what is sodomy? Somebody, come on, it's critical. What's sodomy?
It's a crime against nature, brother.
Crime against nature. Crime against nature. Wherefore, God also gave them up to the uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now, he's talking about fornication, I think. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served themselves, the creature, more than the creator. And for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. That's too soft a word, isn't it? And receiving in themselves that payment of their error, which was meat. In other words, they think they're that way. David Arthur thought he was a woman. That was the punishment. That was the judgment.
That was my first, Coach.
That's right. That is
the verse,
right?
That changed my entire life. That was the verse that told me not only was I living sinfully, but that I was living unnaturally.
Unnaturally. So isn't it good to know that after 2,000 years of Christianity, Matthew Vines has finally found that God is for homosexuality. God's for open sex.
What's really sad in this whole scenario we've been going through the last few minutes is that there are millions and millions of, quote, Christians without enough Bible knowledge and without enough unction from the Holy Spirit to know that Matthew Vines is lying out of both ends of his tomb.
Well, Larry, I agree, but yeah, I couldn't agree more. They don't understand it. Remember, they're itching ears. They want to hear that it's okay. The mommies and the daddies want to hear it's okay. Go ahead, Dale.
Well, brother, it's the same deceptive spirit that somewhere the Supreme Court over some 300 years or 250 years found in Roe versus Wade that there was this caveat in the Constitution that it was okay for a woman to kill her child. They believe that it was already in the Constitution. That's the deception of it.
That's Proverbs 28, isn't it? Guys, can we go back there real quick, Jared? Back
exactly where, we started. Where it's at.
Proverbs 28. 4. Let's go to 4, Jared. There it is. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. God said, homosex is against nature. Let's forsake that and let's honor. Let's honor. It's right there in front. It's right. Can you guys read? It's right in front of me. But such as keep the law, that'd be me, are going to fight them boogers. Buggers, I think they're called, aren't they? They'll fight them.
Hey, Coach, I never saw this guy address Matthew chapter 19, where Jesus himself addressed, have you not heard that in the beginning, talking about marriage, he said that I created them both male and female. He didn't create a male and male. He created the male and female. He was dealing with a divorce issue.
Dale, we didn't understand gender issues and that kind of. Jesus had understood gender issues. He would not have been so hard and hateful. Dale, this is 2,000 years later. We've evolved.
Yeah, but they don't understand in the beginning issues. Watch this, as Mark Trump says, first truth.
Mm.
Second truth is first deception.
I'll steal that one. Yeah, second truth is first deception.
And plus, you know what? Amen. Not to mention that Jesus didn't have to directly talk. See, Jesus dealt with the Jews. The Jews they weren't going to try no abomination. They knew what was against nature. They knew that it was a crime against nature. Paul spoke about homosexuality so much because he dealt with the Romans, and homosexuality ran rampant through the Romans.
Amen. Amen. Hey, can somebody find for me today, right now, or maybe I broke my glasses. Your homework assignment. This be your homework assignment. Find for me the scripture that says, love the sinner, hate the sin. somebody find that for me. That'd be your homework assignment for you. I'll bring you the answer tomorrow. But that is lock, stock, barrel, modern Christianity. Hate the sin, love the sinner. Nowhere in the scripture. Amazing, huh? God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.